And Patrick, can you remind us again what we're doing?
Oh, yes, thank you, Madam Chair. We heard Senate Bill 1084A yesterday. This is the measure that allows pedestrians to get a permit to move onto a roadway or proceed along a roadway. And it requires signage, safety, liability insurance. It has a sunset date of 2012, declares an emergency, and takes effect upon passage. We received testimony yesterday on this measure from a number of people, and I believe there may be one or two who want to speak to it this afternoon.
Thank you. We had this nice discussion yesterday. We ended up with a question about the cities, and we'll go ahead. I understand there are a couple people in the audience that would like to speak, so if they want to come up.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert, and I am proud to represent the city of Medford. I was contacted last night and asked if I could come and let you know a little bit about our city ordinance and how we handle solicitation on our roadways. I apologize for not being here to testify for us yesterday. I had a sick child, and thank goodness for all of us, there's only one of me. So here I am to tell you about our ordinance, which you are now all receiving. It's a pretty big one. It was passed in 2007. It was at the request of our public safety officers in the city of Medford. It was a big concern. Passed it in November 2007. And you'll see that it talks about not who can solicit, but where they can solicit. And for purposes of this bill that you're looking at, the important part is Section 3B, which says that no one can solicit at an intersection that has an electronic signal. That was our decision. That's how we've handled it. We have not issued a citation since we've adopted it. It would be a misdemeanor if we did. It would be up to a judge to decide how much money, anywhere between $300 and $2,000. We would issue two reminders to a group before we actually issued them a misdemeanor citation. On the Senate side, the city's goal was to make sure that the bill did not preempt our authority to make our own laws. We were under the impression that the amendments that were adopted over there did just that, and that we were okay. But yesterday, I have some concerns that when asked by this committee about a local government's authority to deny a permit, Senator Devlin said they didn't have that authority. So I thought we had reached that agreement, and the way I read the language, we do, but we need to get some assurances so that he and I both understand how this bill really works. But it's important that I let you know that even if this bill does pass and my ordinance does stand, the city will not ever issue a permit to anyone. And the reason is twofold. Number one, there is no waiver of liability for the person who issues the permit. It's simply for the person who receives the permit. That's problematic. That means if someone is involved in an accident during one of these activities, that we can be sued for issuing that permit. Number two, if we start issuing permits to some people and denying them to other people, we risk being taken to court from fairly applying our ordinance. So we don't have the money to be sued for discrimination, so we simply would never permit anyone to do this activity. I have been, Madam Chair, I was chastised on the other side for not caring about the people who are afflicted with muscular dystrophy, and that's just not true. And as Representative Tomei pointed out several times yesterday, this bill says nothing about firefighters. It says nothing about muscular dystrophy. Those are both good causes, but we feel there's probably a lot of other ways to fill the boot than to override, preempt local ordinances.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, Greg Leo for the city of Wilsonville today. We heard your comments yesterday and came forward with some very short, albeit a little bit late testimony, but did want to put some points before you today as you consider this bill. First of all, we do think preemption is a problem. And these are the kinds of issues that are best handled by cities, where city councils are able to hear testimony of their citizens and make these kinds of choices. Secondly, safety is always a concern in a city environment, and we don't want to see anything that would create an unsafe kind of situation. The cost of administration and law enforcement would be increased by this bill. We do think it would create some operational problems for us from that point of view, and we do think there is some degree of liability exposure associated with this bill. So for all these reasons, we think maybe this bill isn't quite ready for prime time, and we would hope that perhaps this issue could be kept over and discussed at a later legislative session. We appreciate the opportunity of opening up this hearing today for our testimony, and we've submitted in writing our testimony on this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No.
Thank you so much.
Coming up. We're doing a little looking, but with that, committee, I'm missing a couple members.
If you may, Madam Chair, I can go see if I can find Representative Smith.
Luckily, he's out there somewhere, too.
Okay. Good. You want me to go find
him? We're going to take a brief recess.
I think I can summarize.
Okay. Recess. Doug, do you have any
information?
Ooh, yes.
Hi, good afternoon. Doug Tindall, Deputy Director of the Department of Transportation. What can I do for you?
We were,
Madam Chair, Doug, I think the question before the committee is whether whether this measure as it's constructed would preempt an ordinance like the one in the City of Medford. The City of Medford's ordinance specifies certain intersections that this kind of solicitation would not be allowed at, period. And the question is whether this measure as constructed would preempt that or prohibit them from enacting a more strenuous safety, strenuous prohibitions against activities based on safety concerns.
Chair Byer, I can answer that question. I don't know. I believe that the way this is constructed, I think the way home rule works in Oregon, and I'm really outside of my boundaries here, but I believe that local entities have the authority to enact other ordinances, and I don't know that the only time it would be in conflict if it was directly said that you had to do this and a local ordinance said you can't do this. And this, if I read this bill right, it is not a you have to, it's a may. I believe it says road authorities may issue a permit. So I'm outside of my legal knowledge, but I don't believe that it's a, because it doesn't say that you have to, that it would be in conflict with that local ordinance.
Thank you. Questions?
Senator, I've been wanting to weigh in on that point, Madam Chair.
Andrew, you have something to say?
Chair Byer, members of the committee, Andrew Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. I believe Elsie came and testified on a factor related to the issue you have before you, and I would, they can speak for themselves. The concern I raised last time and what you're hearing now is that when you create free speech forum, and then you leave it up to local jurisdictions to add different restrictions as to who can have access to it, I would suggest that you are raising significant constitutional problems. And I testified yesterday that the fact that this does leave it to local jurisdictions to add additional rules to prohibit ever issuing one is part of its constitutional vulnerability. And again, I thought LC, when they were asked if different jurisdictions can do different things, and I believe they testified that that would create a problem, because if you go to Tiger Creek and you can have free speech there, and you go to Portland and you can't have free speech for the very same activity, you've got a problem. So I'll certainly hope that they'll come in, but personally and from our legal position, that would be impermissible. So I think there is a conundrum here.
So, and it's related because, I mean, is the bill is permissive as opposed to directing them to do it?
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, yes. As I testified yesterday, not only, there's two flaws that I see in Section 5. One is that you have the may language, so it allows jurisdictions not to issue. Two, it doesn't prohibit jurisdictions from adding additional criteria. And if they do that, then that's what I talked about, different vulnerability, that's vulnerable to a challenge because I can do the same one thing in Portland that I can't do in Tigard. So it's those two aspects, the may and no prohibition on further restrictions.
But can't they already do that without this bill?
If you're speaking, Chair Beyer, members of the committee, if you're speaking about Medford, we are challenging Medford's ordinance currently. I could not testify to that the first time, as I mentioned yesterday on the Senate side at the time. I can now say we've asked them to repeal that or we will be going to court. So it's our contention. And
so then, so it shouldn't be a problem then anyway, right? And with that, this issue is
Chair Beyer, if we don't prevail, let's say we don't prevail in our challenge to Medford, and it stands. They've asserted that they will not allow certain actions under this law. That would be a new challenge. Because you have different jurisdictions doing different things. If we are successful in the challenge, it's still vulnerable for
Thank
everybody.
You, Andrea.
Madam Chair,
we're
if I might, Cindy Robert for the City of Medford. I'm no legal eagle, but I do want to explain something very briefly to you. First of all, the City of Medford does not, in fact, decide who can and cannot or put any restrictions on who can and cannot. We simply say where. That's public safety. We believe it meets constitutional muster. Secondly, the way the bill is written and the way we understand the amendments, it says that a road authority may permit someone to do what otherwise is not allowed. So we read that as when we own the road, we can in fact allow someone to do this by permit if they do X, Y, and Z. So I do not, I think it was to preempt, but here's the problem. When you were in the City of Medford and you were going to drive from Medford to Jacksonville, that is a state road. I and my city do not have any authority over it. That would go back to ODOT. So whereas we don't think our ordinance is preempted, there are areas within our city where we do not own the road and we are not the road authority. So it may not happen on Barrett Street in downtown Medford, but it can happen on the next street because ODOT gave permission for it to. So I wanted to clarify, we do think it preempted, we do not think it preempted our authority, but our authority is kind of scattered around.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
We're in work session.
Yes, we are.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1084 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith has moved Senate Bill 1084 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Oh, yes.
I'm just trying to get it moving.
Thank you very much, Representative. I appreciate it.
Collins, I think this started out as a very simple bill that hopefully everybody in this building could support. But it's to help one group that has done something for over 50 years, that is doing a good thing, and hooray for them. But that is not what this bill says. And it can't do that. Because if it just is talking about the firefighters, then it's unconstitutional. If it's not talking just about the firefighters, which it is not, it is a whole class of people, then it is really, I think, a dangerous law. And some of my best friends are firefighters and retired firefighters. And I love what the firefighters are doing. So I hate to be in the position where I've got to say, I'm sorry, I have to vote against this. If it's available to anybody and everybody, then I think it is a danger. And I think we're hearing from two cities who are saying that. And I suspect that if we went back to Milwaukee, which I did not do, and other cities that maybe we represent, that maybe they would have problems with this too. So to my way of speaking, it's a problem. Either it's unconstitutional. If we take out the part that makes it unconstitutional, then I think it's very dangerous. It's a safety issue. So I will probably be voting no, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other Representative Benn?
Madam Chair, it seemed to me that the issue was one of public safety first and foremost, and I'm afraid I didn't ask yesterday ODOT's folks if they thought that our roads would be safer as a result of this law. Unfortunately, I failed to ask my question quite that way. I did hear, though, that they felt that given rulemaking opportunity, they could make this safe. So the issue in my mind, after listening to staff so indicate, became whether or not by making the activity safe, we were going to be slowing down traffic, which seems to me exactly what was going to happen. So then the issue became, well, if we're going to be slowing down traffic, I guess we're giving money-making activities precedence over transportation. And that's how I view the issue. The problem with it is, I think people are out there already, and I think they're going to continue to be out there. So the way I should have asked my question yesterday was, do you think you can get control of the situation through this law? I don't know if they can or can't. That's why I was happy to see the sunset provision in the law, because that will give us an opportunity to review this again. Frankly, if I'd been in the Senate, I would have made it 3 years, not five. But there is the sunset provision, and ODOT will have the opportunity to make, I hope, the road safer. So I'll be voting for it at this level. I must say, if someone comes and makes a better argument between now and the time it reaches the floor, I may change my vote. We'll be voting for it this afternoon.
Thank you. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Benson nearly took the words out of my mouth. I'm not an enthusiastic supporter of the bill. I do have some concerns, but I am persuaded by ODOT's assertions that they can do this in a safe way. And I'm also very happy that there's a sunset that will allow us to evaluate how well it works. So I'll be supporting as well.
Thank you. Anyone else? Representative Gilman.
Madam Chair, for the reasons I stated yesterday, I'll still be a no.
Thank you. With that, we have a motion on the table, and the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 No.
No.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thank you. I'm going to close the public hearing. The work session. And I don't know if there's anybody jumping up to carry this. I can do it. If
I think you should go right ahead.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And I close the work session on Senate Bill 1084. And I'm going to go ahead and open, I guess, an informational hearing, which sounds very formal, but we have the a number of members from the Oregon Transportation Commission with us today to speak to us and let us ask questions. And
former Representative Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
Chair Byers, members of the committee, it's really a pleasure to be here today. I'm Gail Achterman of Portland and the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission, and with me today are Commissioner Janice Wilson from Portland, Commissioner Alan Brown from Newport, and Commissioner David Lohman from Ashland. I'm going to have the Medford.
Jacksonville.
He grew up in Ashland. And I'm going to have each of them, I think I'll just turn to each of them to introduce themselves and talk a little bit about, well, just introduce yourselves and say anything more about yourself that you want to.
Well, I'll be very brief. I do live in Jacksonville now. I did grow up in Ashland, but I've managed to live in Eugene, Salem, and Portland as well. So I've covered a lot of the state. I spent a few years back in D.C. working on the Senate Appropriations Committee professional staff, and then spent 5 years here in Salem as a deputy director of the Economic Development Department. and then 10 years with the Port of Portland as the Director of Policy and Planning there. But I'm now back in, you know, private practice down in Bedford, and very interested in transportation issues. I represent the Rogue Valley Transportation District. I have been on a number of bicycle advocacy committees, and of course, from my time with the port, I am very interested in freight mobility. So my interests cover a lot of the areas that we have to deal with at the commission, and I'm very happy to be part of it.
Mr. Brown.
Chair Beyer and members of the committee, I'm very happy to be here again with some old friends. And three members of the Transportation Committee when, back in the days when I was there.
Right.
And after watching the your last bill here and listening to that, I you have my sympathies. The we had the opportunity when I was on the Transportation Committee with you folks to address a number of very important transportation issues that have a real impact on the state of Oregon. Issues in transportation haven't gone away, and probably to a certain extent they haven't got any less. And the people of Oregon and our transportation needs need you folks, and we hope we'll have the opportunity to put into process some of the good legislation you'll pass our way.
Thank you. Welcome to the commission.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, I'm Janice Wilson. I live in Portland, Oregon. I've served on the Transportation Commission since the summer of 04, and my term ends in the summer of 2012. My family has lived in Oregon for a long time. We came on a covered wagon and settled Brownsville, so have deep, deep roots and a caring and love for the state. I retired as a regional president with Wells Fargo Bank, and in my career with Wells Fargo, I had managed almost all of our retail business and commercial business throughout the entire state, so I have a depth of knowledge and a caring about this state, and I've served on a number of policy boards for you, one of them being the State Board of Higher Education. So I'm delighted to be part of your team and look forward to the work that we have ahead of us in terms of our transportation agendas. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations on your appointments and reappointments, everybody.
The four of us today, Chair Beyer, all, as you mentioned, all four of us were just reappointed to, or two of us were reappointed and two of us were appointed, and I wanted to extend the personal apologies and regrets for Commissioner Mike Nelson, who very much wanted to be here today and join you, but he was going to miss his return flight to Baker City if he did not head for the airport. So he sends his regrets, particularly to Representative Bentz, because he said that you, particularly Representative Bentz, would understand the challenges of living in far eastern Oregon and serving in the state. When Commissioner Wilson and I met a while ago with Representative Beyer, we mentioned some of the steps we're taking now that we have a commission fully back up to strength with our two new members to set the direction for the commission for the next 18 months. And under the leadership of our prior chair, Stuart Foster, at our work session last August, we agreed that we wanted to develop a work plan for the next 18 months moving forward, looking toward the 2009 legislative session, so that we could come together with you and work with you and your Senate colleagues between now and then to really develop transportation packages for consideration in 2009 that will address the transportation challenges and opportunities that we face. When we had the unexpected turnover on the commission, which is the greatest turnover that's occurred, I've been on the commission 7.5 years now, and this is the largest turnover we've had. We also decided to pause as a group and really take time to talk among ourselves and with the senior management team at ODOT about what the roles and responsibilities of the commission are vis-a-vis the agency management, so that we can focus our activities on where we can really add value to the enterprise and try to minimize the amount of time we spend on things where maybe we don't add too much value. None of us are engineers, and so I think none of us think we ought to really get into engineering type issues, given that we probably do more harm than good. So what we wanted to share with you today was where we are on our conversation about the top priorities of our work plan and also how we see our roles and responsibilities, and to really provide you with this information in the hopes that you'll actually provide some feedback to us. And if you think there's some issues that you wish we'd be working on or that you'd like us to work on with you between now and the 2009 session, that we could have a conversation about that so that we can all collectively serve the people of the state as effectively as possible. And I'm not going to take time today to go into the work plan items and the roles and responsibilities in any detail. We are going to be mailing to all the stakeholders that we can think of the lists of roles and responsibilities as we see them and our work plan as we see it, so that as we truly move toward a systems approach to transportation, recognizing that in order to be effective in providing transportation services to Oregonians, we need to be working really closely with the cities, with the counties, with the metropolitan planning organizations, with our local area commission on transportations, with the private and public transportation providers, whether it's transit districts or the railroads. We want to reach out to them and invite them, and needless to say, all of you, to help us define the priorities. So turning to the second page of my written testimony, and I'll just tick these off and we can have a conversation about any that you'd like to delve into further. Our top item is transportation funding, looking at how do we raise the revenue to maintain the system that we have and to meet modernization needs. Who pays? How do they pay across all jurisdictions? Strategic investment analysis and project criteria. We have pretty good strategic investment criteria in the highway arena, but we really haven't had the opportunity until you passed the Connect Oregon legislation to make investments in other modes. And yet what we're hearing from citizens is, how do you know whether it makes more sense to invest in a road or a railroad or a road or mass transit? How do you know whether this road investment or that road investment on the state system or on a local system is really the most cost-effective way to deliver the service? That's a big challenge, and we just had a presentation in our meeting this morning on the fact that no state really understands how to do this very well, and we're probably as far ahead as any state, and yet we aren't very far ahead. The third issue is the rail assessment that the legislature funded in 2007 and the need to develop an action strategy. Many of you and your constituents are facing the cutbacks in rail service and rail service availability. It has serious economic consequences. We need to figure out what the state role is. Governance and cross-jurisdictional relations. How do we run the system as a system, no matter who owns it? Development mitigation impacts. This is the land use transportation integration challenge. And it was an eye-opener for me. The governor invited two of the top executives from Toyota North America to Oregon, and they've been here over the last couple of days. The very first thing that the head of advanced technology for Toyota in North America asked us as a group was, what are you doing on land use transportation integration? We think that's the most important issue. And this is from someone who makes cars. So trying to figure out how, as development occurs, you actually provide the transportation services that are needed to serve that development is a major challenge. Project delivery performance improvements, thanks to the investment that Commissioner Brown and the rest of you on the committee in years past made with OTIA 1 and 2 and 3 and with the Connect Oregon investments, we think we've done amazing things over the last several years in improving our project delivery, but we've also stubbed our toes some. And we've got to learn from those mistakes as well as from the successes and figure out how to reduce the project delivery time and the costs so that we can, again, deliver the services. Systems optimization. There are some areas where it's probably going to be very difficult to add capacity, and half of the congestion has nothing to do with capacity. It has to do with wrecks and spills and people swinging in and out of lanes. Adding more lanes isn't going to do anything to solve those problems. How are we going to actually make the existing system work well? What are we going to do about safety? What are we going to do about driver education? What are we going to do about truck safety inspection? What are we going to do on a whole range of fronts to make the system work more effectively? And then finally, and this is a real opportunity for all of us, what are we going to do with the 2009 federal reauthorization of the Surface Transportation Act, where we are very fortunate to have Congressman DeFazio and Congressman Blumenauer in key positions to make a difference in what that federal legislation looks like. So what we're trying to do with, in partnership with our staff, is develop a work plan around these 8 items. We're not going to be able to do everything. We're going to have to set some priorities, and that's why we'd love to have feedback from every one of our collaborators to focus in what the top priorities need to be. On roles and responsibilities, I think they're fairly straightforward. I have to tell you, I have 2 graduate students at Oregon State University researching best practices for transportation commissions, and even though there are 50 of them in the United States, there is one report on anything about best practices, and there are 2 others. The current literature is from 1947. The one more recent report is 2006. So we really haven't done a very good job of thinking about this collectively, and yet it's very important, in my opinion, if we're really going to maximize the value that we provide to the department as an enterprise. And I think that the 8 items we have on this list, policy development and strategic planning, are the key thing that the statutes say we ought to be doing. But we also are accountable for operation oversight to make sure that we are delivering, the agency's delivering. We're responsible for looking at major transactions and projects where we've got a lot of tough issues, like the Columbia River Crossing project, financial management systems and oversight, risk management, external relationships, being, as you know, with your constituent services, really being a sounding board, additional a set of eyes and ears for citizens so that we might learn things that no one would want to tell the department staff, and we can communicate that, whether it's relationships with you as legislators or whether it's relationships with citizens. And then working closely with the governor to provide feedback on performance of the director and the agency, which we're statutorily charged with doing, but at the same time being a sounding board for the director if he's got questions so that he can tap into the expertise that the commission brings from their years of disparate experience. So I must say I'm very honored to be the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission. I think you have a very talented commission now, a group of people that are really committed to working to achieve a vision for transportation for the 21st century for Oregon. And what we hope is that you'll look over our work plan, you'll take a look at whether you think these roles and responsibilities are really what we ought to be doing, and that this meeting today will be the start of a longer conversation with you and your colleagues about how we move Oregon forward to that transportation vision for the 21st century. So we'd all be happy to respond to any questions or comments that you have at this point.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to say, first of all, I do greatly appreciate the work that Stuart Foster did with the commission, and we're glad to have someone else from Jackson County join you. But I also just want to say thank you to all 4 of you for being willing to step up at this level. The challenge is, as we've heard over and over again, the challenge is great. It's just a truly great challenge. But if we can face it, if we can accomplish it, then it's going to make a significant difference in our state. And the fact that you're willing to put your time in, the fact that you're willing to put your lives into this is greatly, greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Chair Beyer. Representative Buckley.
Any other questions down here?
Just echoing that, and I just, if I may, Madam Chair, it's so great to see Representative Brown again, and I remember we served in the Transportation Committee, and we just heard what should have been a simple bill that I had trouble with now. And in my first session, I had another simple bill that I was trying to pass, and Representative Brown sat down with me and told me in great detail it was about tire recycling, why it was not nearly as simple as I had thought it would be.
Representative Tomei, I've changed my mind now.
Glad to hear that. Any questions on this side or comments over here? I just want to thank you guys for being willing to stick around a little while and come and meet with us, and so we can familiarize ourselves with the faces and hope that we actually can work a little more closely in the coming interim and session on transportation issues, and it will be great to have a partnership with you, and because you'll bring a lot to the table that we can all benefit from. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mr. Garrett, I realize maybe I made an oversight, but you might have wanted to introduce your board, so my apologies. I don't know if you have anything else you need to say. Or
I thought maybe you wanted to talk about the Phil DeBoot bill.
Well, I'll withdraw my invitation to come up. Thank you so much for coming. And committee... With that, I'm going to close the informational hearing, and we are adjourned, and we have no other meeting scheduled. Nope.